Welcome to episode 387 of Fly Away. Here at Outlander Travel, we're passionate about, well, travel. Throughout the years, we've seen many changes to the industry, but one thing that has stayed the same is the urge to explore our world and make the connections that can only be made through travel. My name is Elizabeth, and this week I am joined by a lot of fellow Outlander travel agents, Laura, Lindsay, Donna, Robin, and George. On our podcast, we love to travel all over the world together virtually by talking about some of our favorite places. Tonight, we're going to stay right here in the USA and talk about the third largest city in the US and arguably one of the most beloved, known as the Windy City, the Second City, the White City, the City That Works, Chicago. That's a song. I feel like I need to break out in a tap dance or something. The name Chicago was first recorded in 1688, where it appears as something that I cannot pronounce. We're going to guess Chicago. Is that close? Ian will put it up on the screen when we're editing.
Go with Chicago.
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 Oh, I like that.
Chicago. Chicago.
That sounds like a drag queen name. It's an Algonquin word meaning onion field. So when we decided this would be our topic, we immediately thought of the perfect guest. Tonight we are joined by a very special guest and dear friend, Robbie Hamida. Robbie is the Senior Vice President, Agency Operations of Nexion Travel Group, who is our host agency. Born and raised in Chicago, he moved away in 2000, but he still considers it home, visiting between 2 to 10 times a year, small range there. Each time he flies into Chicago, 4 minutes before landing, he plays the song Lakeshore Drive by Aliotta, Haynes, and Jeremiah, as most flights landing at O'Hare make a turn over Lake Michigan, flying over Lakeshore Drive before landing. And that's just, Robbie's also an airplane nut and knows every route for every airline. So Chicago is home to 26 miles of lakefront with 25 beaches, more than 8,800 acres of green space and 600 parks, approximately 60 museums, nearly 200 art galleries, and 20 neighborhood art centers, more than 250 theaters, 225 music venues, and 200 dance companies, more than 7,300 restaurants and 167 breweries in the Chicagoland area, the most breweries of any metropolitan area in the nation, 369 landmarks, 59 historic districts, 7 free downtown and lakefront major music and dance festivals, more than 30 food festivals, and over 400 neighborhood festivals, and more than 40 film festivals annually. That is a lot of math. But so let's get started. So Robbie, why don't you just tell us a little bit about why Chicago is so special? There's a lot going on in Chicago that I don't think people even realize. It's sort of, for such a big city, it sort of flies under the radar sometimes. Would you agree with that?
It does. And first of all, thanks for having me. I'm so happy to be here with all of you again today. So very excited to be here. Chicago is such an incredible city. It's, you have Lake Michigan, you have a city of neighborhoods, a lot of culture, and it's just a great Midwestern town where everyone just gets along and has a great time, but there's always something to do. There's never enough time for people that go to Chicago.
I would agree with that. So when we think big cities, we think New York, we think LA, they have very different personalities. What kind of personality do you think Chicago sort of has? Is it more New York? Is it more LA? Or is it something totally different?
It is something completely different. I don't think anybody in Chicago would ever want to be compared to either one of those cities.
Exactly.
unless you're really looking for a fight, which is also possible in Chicago. But it is a major city. It's a major financial center. It's a major railroad hub. So it is a city that brings people together. And I think really that's the best way to put it. It truly is a melting pot, I think, more than any other city in the nation, even more than New York, in my opinion, of how it melds all the communities together and how it melds all the people together.
I think, is it the history of the country? I mean, immigration, people think of New York City, everybody comes to New York and that's where they settle, but that's not really true, right? A lot of people checked in Ellis Island and went straight to Chicago.
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. And people went all over the country. If you look just at our nation, you can look at pockets of where people came from all over. I live in Texas now and we have, Fredericksburg. But when you look at Chicago, we have Ukrainian village, we have Polish village, we have Italian village, we have, the Middle Eastern section. That's what makes Chicago so great, as people got to New York and, looked around and said, nah, and came to Chicago. And we were more than happy to take them.
Yes, absolutely. So I have some questions here. Some of them are somewhat divisive, and you may notice Lindsay is also wearing a Chicago shirt today. Lindsay grew up outside of Chicago, correct?
Southern Wisconsin, but that was the closest major city. So we spent quite a bit of time in Chicago, and whenever I think of home, I think of Chicago.
We'll be happy to have you.
And so so I'm going to fly blind. I can tell these are divisive, but I haven't been to Chicago since the Bears won the sports ball thing.
That thing that the trademarked game that we shouldn't say. But 1985,
exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. And I
that
was
is
a very
long
young
time
thing,
ago.
A very long time ago. And I just remember it being very, very cold. I was also there in January, so that was probably not fair. So Robin, have you been to Chicago before?
I have not been to Chicago.
Oops, we lost you there. What'd you say? Oh.
I can't hear you, Robin.
Something happened to your sound. Uh-oh, she froze up. Sorry, Ian.
She is still in awe of the 1985 win of the Chicago Bears. She's just stoic, you know. But see, it might have been cold to you, but for the rest of us in Chicago in 1985, we were all dancing the Super Bowl shuffle the entire time.
Yes.
So for all of us, we were all very, very warm.
I suppose that makes it better. Yes. I just remember not ever understanding what having your face freezing off was like until that moment. So very, the Windy City indeed. George, have you been to Chicago?
So I've never been to Chicago proper, but I did spend about 3 weeks in Downers Grove, which is kind of west of Chicago. So I know Portillo's and I know Lou Malnati. So I know the food.
Well,
not
some
much
of these
else.
Questions may work for you. Donna, you've been to Chicago, yes?
Many times. I love going to Chicago.
Have you been to all 106 or 167 of these breweries?
No, but I've been to the German one, which is right downtown. And, you know, that's really good.
That's probably authentic, yeah. Laura?
Yes.
I was there once in somewhere around, let me think. Like 91, 92 for like 3 or 4 days.
So more recently than me. Mm-hmm. Did you freeze your face off?
It was October, so no.
Okay.
And you're asking the wrong person because when it gets under 30 degrees is when I get my happiest. So
okay.
I was there for St. Patrick's Day and it was actually 60 degrees outside.
I hear that the weather can be very nice. So, but isn't Lake Michigan, that's also where you do the polar plunge, right? That's the, thing that people do.
Yep.
Jumping into a really cold lake that's unappealing. But I would like to go to Chicago, all those theaters and everything. So we're going to start with these divisive questions and we're going to really direct them at Lindsay and Robbie. And we're just going to see where this goes and see if we all remain friends at the end of it. Okay.
We'll see.
So the first one is, where do you stand in the pizza war? So you may need to give us some background here on what that war is.
Well, there's actually two pizza wars, right?
Okay.
There's like the national one, which is the thinner New York style versus deep dish. And then there's the local one where Chicago does a lot of fighting amongst themselves with the food. It's with the food. Is that right, Robbie? Would you agree?
You are 100% correct.
Yes.
So Chicago is a city of a north side and a south side. We do have a west side. And if we don't like you, we send you to the east side, which is also known as Lake Michigan. So,
that's the lake.
So we tell tourists we don't like to drive east and keep going. But for us, we're a north side versus south side city. You know, it's whether it's our sports teams or in my opinion, our pizza. I grew up on the south side of Chicago within the city limits. And for us, pizza to us was very thin crust and it was cut into squares when you got it. There was no slices. It was cut into squares. And we were probably geared toward our Giordano's pizza brand or some of the local brands on the south side. As I grew up and started to venture out into the north side or the downtown area, I started getting into what I call tourist pizza, which is our deep dish pizza, which of course Giordano's has as well. But then you start getting into Lou Malnati's and Pizzeria Due and Pizzeria Uno, amongst the other ones such as Eduardo's and some of the smaller either chains or the local pizza places. But yeah, Chicago is very divided on pizza, thin crust versus deep dish and north side versus south side. You know, I think Chicago, I think, agrees on one ingredient, which is mostly sausage. It doesn't matter if it's deep dish or if it's your flat crispy pizza sausage. They all agree on. You got to have a sausage. And but other than that, we all agree mutually that New York can keep their pizza.
So New York has a thin crust, but it's a softer crust, right? So are you talking sort of that Neapolitan oven baked thin crispy crust?
Yeah, either thin crust. We like it a little on the crispy side. We're not much on the doughy side. And you know, we don't do ours in slices. So you're not going to walk in somewhere and say, give me a slice. You're going to get a whole pizza or you're going to get a couple squares. It. Yeah, that's it.
So Lindsay, where do you fall in this war?
So I'm kind of an odd duck. I mean, I spent some time living out east near New York. So I grew up with New York style pizza, but I love deep dish. And so for me, I had kind of the opposite experience as Robbie, because maybe from being from Southern Wisconsin and driving down all the time and just going into Chicago, my experience with Chicago pizza was always deep dish. And I mean, I can't even remember all the places that I've eaten it at, but I love Duo. And I know that's not I mean, we order Fumonati's. I got it in the freezer right now. You know, I'm still trying to figure out a way to go get it. In fact, we had a layover in Chicago and I was trying to convince my husband recently to order a pizza and go outside. to pick it up and then come back through security, and he thought I was crazy, but
you're not crazy.
I don't know. I'm just a fan of good pizza, so I'm not really. I have not tried Chicago thin crust. So
yeah, but I will tell you, if for someone that's really looking for a pizza and to get one delivered anywhere in the country, definitely go with Lou Malnati's, and I'll tell you why. They have a buttery crust compared to some of the other deep dish pizzas, and it's really the crust, and you get a lot of pizza for that crust, whereas some of the deep dish, it's a lot of crust and not a lot of pizza. So I mean, I was in Chicago last weekend visiting my family, and I always take an extra bag with me when I travel just for food, and I went to the Lou Malnati's in the South Side and got four of them and brought them home.
Wow, is that carry on?
No, I checked it. I bought way too many. Yeah. You don't have to check it. I just bought way too much. So I had to check it.
So what makes deep dish pizza different than New York pizza?
Deep dish pizza is about that tall. So it's almost like a pie versus a pizza. It's more of a pie. So basically you have this beautiful crust and it's about, you know, 3-4 inches deep, and then just loaded with sausage or vegetables or spinach and cheese and marinara sauce and you name it. But it's just this beautiful, delicious pie.
And typically, like a lot of times, the sauce is actually on top.
Yes.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So the meat and cheese and stuff are
all underneath. Baked inside, piece of it is a meal.
Yep. And I will tell you, for those going to Chicago, if you do go to any restaurant, whether it's Lou Malnati's or Giordano's or Eduardo's or Pizzeria Uno or a Home Run In Pizza, I mean, any of our local pizza places, what you want to make sure is deep dish pizza takes a long time to cook. So it's not something you want to order if you're in a hurry, because it's 45 minutes minimum to cook a personal deep dish pizza. So give yourself plenty of time so you can actually enjoy it.
That's a good tip. That's a very good tip. All right, this next one makes me a little nervous. Does ketchup belong on hot dogs? I mean, I think the answer is no, but I'm not from Chicago. So the answer is no?
Answer's no. Okay. Unless you're 5 years old, the answer's no. So Chicago has signs all over the city that it is illegal in the city limits of Chicago to put ketchup on a hot dog.
Oh, wow.
You will see them all over the city.
Yeah.
Sure.
If my husband could put one in the kitchen in our house, he would put one here too.
So I wish I had a prop with me, because I have it in my kitchen. I just forgot to bring it in here. One of the great jokes in Chicago was Heinz pulled a stunt on Lake Michigan one summer where they invented Chicago dog sauce, where it was a special sauce that wasn't ketchup made for hot dogs. And they were serving it on people's hot dogs at the lakefront one day and selling $5 glass bottles of this Heinz Chicago dog sauce. It was ketchup. And it is amazing. You can find the videos online of people, oh my dear, this is the best thing ever on a hot dog, but it's not ketchup. I feel like I'm following the rules. And it was this most hilarious, hilarious thing that Heinz did. And but no, don't. You will get looks. You might get asked to leave the city. We have lots of trains that people can put you on and get you out, but definitely.
And there's always the lake.
A proper Chicago hot dog is a hot dog that is rolled through the garden, and ketchup is not one of the things that is in there.
Okay, so tell me more. So that means there's slaw on it? Is that
there? So Chicago hot dogs is you'll have your all, it has to be an all beef hot dog. If it's not an all beef hot dog, it's not a Chicago dog. It has to be on a poppy seed bun, and that's a requirement. And then, so if don't eat a bunch of them if you're going in for a drug test the next day. Learn that the hard way. And then, basically, you have a pickle spear, you have onions, you have mustard, you have tomatoes, you have this cute, adorable pepper called a sport pepper, you have celery salt, and the big thing that really makes a Chicago hot dog is neon green relish. It is an amazing green relish that that they can see from space. But that's what makes it a Chicago hot dog.
Interesting, because I've heard of Chicago hot dogs, but I don't think I've actually ever seen one, like a true Chicago hot dog. That mm-hmm. doesn't sound familiar to me at all.
So. Yep, so Vienna Beef brought them to Chicago. When the Austrians and the Germans came to Chicago, they brought Vienna Beef, and it was at the World's Fair where Chicago became known for their hot dogs. And Vienna Beef is a company in Chicago, still in operation today. Restaurants like Portillo's use their hot dogs. And, but definitely got to have the poppy seed bun, too. That's a requirement.
Yeah, my neighbor across the street in Greensboro and was born in Hamlet, North Carolina, but lived a good amount of her life in Chicago. And she loved Portillo's hot dogs. And they made me, I'm not a big hot dog person, but mm-hmm. they made me a Chicago hot dog. And I loved the savoriness of it and the bite of the pickle and all that. Mm-hmm. And for her 75th birthday, I ordered her, Portillo's hot dogs sent to her house.
Nice.
And they sent the whole getup. Everything was in there.
Yeah, we order Italian beef sandwiches every once in a while.
Yeah, that was actually one of our first COVID orders was Portillo's Italian beef sandwiches. We very much enjoyed it. Marcus had them once before. My a relative had sent them for New Year's Eve, I think it was. And we didn't know what they were at the time because we haven't been to Chicago. And mm-hmm. we tried them and Marcus thought he had died and gone to heaven. He could not get enough.
What's Italian beef?
So Italian beef is another Chicago treasure. So, and I'll give you guys a fun tip. So Italian beef is a thinly shaved beef that, sits in its own au jus sauce. And then basically they serve it on a French roll that are made in Chicago. They put the beef in the French roll, and then you can choose how you want it. Do you want it dipped in the juice? So if you can order it dipped, where they just soak it in the juice. So when it comes out, it's just sopping in the juices. And then they put sweet peppers on it, sweet green peppers, or they put what's called giardiniera on top, which is another wonderful Chicago invention, which is chopped vegetables. And you put the giardiniera on it, chopped celery, olives, cauliflower, carrots, the sport peppers, so it's a nice spicy sauce, and throw that on top. So if you were to order an Italian beef, you would say, I would like an Italian beef dipped hot, which means you want it dropped in the juice. So the bread is just soaking wet and then covered in hot peppers, or you can say you want it dry, dry sweet, which means don't dip it in the sauce and put sweet peppers on top of it. So lots of ways you can order a beef. And if you go to a place like Portillo's, they actually have instructions up on their menu board to guide you through the process to make sure you do it correctly.
And do you eat that sopping wet one with your hands, or do you
Absolutely.
Use a knife and
fork? Oh, yeah. And it's coming down your elbows.
You need to cover yourself with napkins, and it's just the most amazing experience ever. But if you use a knife and fork, it's kind of like the ketchup thing. You might get asked to leave.
Okay.
And it's one of those things, the bread is everything to that. Like that bread is something special. You can't get that anywhere else. I've looked and there's just nowhere else that does it. So you think you're hearing like, that sounds like a soggy sandwich, but I mean, it is, but it's delicious. It's not soggy bad. It's soggy delicious.
It's soggy delicious. And you are spot on to the bread, because in addition to my shopping from this past weekend, I also brought home poppy seed buns and I brought home Italian beef bread from Chicago. It is one of those things you just can't get. It's
truly like the muffalata bun in New Orleans.
Bingo.
Yep. Something exactly. Special about it. Yeah.
Or the New York bagel. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mimicked, but never the same. So, mm-hmm. You know, always if it's something you love, you know, have it shipped to you, or when you fly there, stock up.
Yep, it's true. And if you can't go to Chicago and you can order Portillo's, they give you the instructions. It's very easy to follow the instructions. They give you the hat, so you feel like you're there. It's great. A little white hat. All right, my next divisive question, and I know this one's divisive, even though I don't know anything about sports ball, Cubs or White Sox?
Yeah.
I mean, I think the answer is clear from Robbie's costuming this evening.
Yes. Well, luckily, we have the one football team, we have the one hockey team, but when it comes to baseball, it's definitely a South Side versus North Side thing. Obviously, we have the Chicago White Sox down on 35th Street on the South Side. We have the Chicago Cubs up in Wrigleyville on the North Side, over on Addison and Clark. And, you know, it really is your family that dictates kind of, you know, almost like your religion in your household. It goes the same with baseball.
Exactly.
You are going to be whatever your family is. Otherwise, you need to go find a new place to live. And I grew up on the South Side, and my family, you know, we were White Sox people, very much so. We would go to the games. It was down the street from where I grew up. But, you know, I got to a certain point where I gained my independence and my own mind at about age 15, and I had gone to Wrigley Field for a Cubs game. And Wrigley Field is old as it is, it seems so modern and so with its, you know, its ramps to get in and out, the ease of getting in and out of the place, the games, the lights. When I grew up, Wrigley Field didn't have lights. There was no such thing as a night game. Everything was a day game when I grew up until I was older and we started having night games. But I became a Cubs fan. And for anyone that knows, being a Cubs fan is an unforgivable, unthankable, you know, thing.
Your family disown you?
My family did disown me. My dad didn't talk to me for probably a year. And a joke, when I started going to Cubs games, that dirty North Side, my dad, you know, but I love the North Side. The North Side had all the fun stuff. But I will tell you, it's, you know, Wrigley Field, what an amazing just thought, you know, I'm trying to find the word, but when Mrs. Wrigley put her input into designing it, she wanted ramps, not stairs. They were so forward thinking way back then on crowd control and getting people in and getting people out. The logic of that stadium, as old as it is amazing. I mean, and when I grew up, you know, we had Comiskey Park, you know, which eventually was, you know, blown up and they built a new stadium next door. You know, it doesn't have that same charm that you have up in Wrigleyville with the Cubs. So I'm a Cubs fan, and you know, and they finally broke the curse of the goat, and they finally, you know, finally won a World Series. So it was a good day. I think I cried for 2 days.
Yeah. I think we're not alone in that.
Yeah.
Robin.
I'm sorry. Of Wrigley Field, yes. I have a couple times. It's funny now that we're getting into pre-COVID, hopefully we'll start to see them again. But one of the great things, and if you get a chance and you can tour Wrigley and get to stand on the field, more than baseball has happened at that stadium over the years. I mean, the Rolling Stones have played there. We've had Lady Gaga has played there. Elton John has played there. There's been so many people that have played at Wrigley on the field. I think, I think you
too. James Taylor. Ones.
Yeah, yep, James Taylor. Yep.
Billy
Joel.
Yeah. Yep. Billy Joel too. Yeah. It's our stadiums are great because they're open air. There's lots of room. And I remember there was one event in Chicago, and I think it might've been U2 where their stage didn't fit where they were supposed to be. So they ended up having to move it to Wrigley or Soldier Field, one of our other stadiums, because they needed the height to be able to get the set set up correctly.
That definitely sounds like a U2 kind of thing.
Yes.
For sure. Yeah. Yep. For sure. Okay, so I think that's... Oh, go ahead.
I wanted... I wanted to say you are exactly right about sports being like a religion in the Midwest as a whole. I mean, I grew up listening to Harry Carey in the barn with my dad, and that was, you know, I was born into being a Cubs fan, and he was also a diehard Packers fan, which I've never cared for football, and I married a diehard Bears fan. So when that there is definitely a line there that once you've crossed, you're never allowed, you know, it's a shunning.
No, it truly is. And and you said the P word, but I'll let it slide. Yeah. You know, I'll say that word in Chicago too much.
Yeah. Well, and sports, obviously, I think cities like Chicago and other places where there's two teams, New York comes to mind, that rivalry is so neighborhood focused. And it's interesting, you know, you sort of don't think of people crossing that line, like converting over. It almost seems harder than religion to convert.
And with the Chicago Bears and the Packers rivalry, I mean, I don't know a lot about football, but we went to the NFC Championship game, and I took my husband to see the Bears play in Chicago, and I surprised him with that trip, and we went there, and they lost, unfortunately, but as we're leaving the stadium, there's just a mob of Bears fans. And they're in the center of this. There's just one guy and his son wearing all Packers, head to toe Packers stuff. And the little boy was just taunting and, you know, but it's a friendly rivalry because nobody was being mean. People were, it's one of the, I would say probably one of the most well-known,
rivalries.
Yeah. Growing up as a kid, there was this wonderful thing they used to do. This is before baseball started intertwining the leagues and everything. But before they did that, Chicago used to have this wonderful game over the weekend called the Crosstown Classic. And they still call it that today, but it's more official now. But it was where the Cubs played, the Sox. And it was a great thing. And you got to all be together. The whole city was united, in doing it together. And it was a great thing. But Chicago, at the end of the day, is just a real sports town. There's not a lot of fair weather fans. Everybody's all in all the time. And I remember when the White Sox went to the World Series one year, all the Cubs fans were on board, and they sold, I don't know if I can say this, but they sold these hilarious shirts that said, "I'm a proud bisexual." all the Cubs fans were wearing, and it was to show support for the Southsiders because we were thrilled. I think that they swept. I think it was like 4 and they were done that year for the World Series. It was an incredible achievement. But yeah, the city will unite when we need to.
When sports are on the line.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, so before we get into a few of these highlights of Chicago, these are not divisive questions anymore, but I would like to ask, is there anything that you dislike about Chicago? Or is there anything that maybe a traveler to Chicago should know before going because they might step into something that they don't want to step into?
So Chicago is a city that can be very crowded at times of year. So you just want to make sure you plan ahead. Know what you want to do. Do your research. Work with someone who's been to Chicago or, just do a good amount of searching. Watch out for tourist traps. There could be a lot of them. It's a big city, but just plan what you want to do so you have enough time to do it. And one of the great things about Chicago, it is home to so many incredible museums, but one museum can take up an entire day. Mm-hmm. If you want to see it, like the Museum of Science and Industry or the Art Institute, those are whole day events to properly enjoy them. So if you do want to go to them, make sure you highlight maybe what you want to see while you're there so you can get in, see it, and get out. So really, it's just plan ahead. When you really think of Chicago, winter goes from September till May in the city of Chicago. So there's this, center window that we call summer. And that is when everyone wants to be in Chicago. So you just want to make sure you plan ahead. And also, you open this with the amount of festivals that Chicago has. And if you want to be there for Blues Fest or Gospel Fest or one of the art fests on the north sides, plan ahead because you want to be there for that weekend. One of my most favorite events in Chicago is in October when the weather could be iffy. you know, usually very wet and sometimes even snowy, is called Open House Chicago, which is from the Chicago Architecture Center in Chicago. And what they do is they open up in one weekend that's around the 15th-ish. They open up all these sites around the city that are not open to the public normally, that you can go into old bank vaults, tops of skyscrapers. It is, and it's all the neighborhoods in the city participate in it, but it's usually a Saturday, Sunday. That's my favorite weekend to go, because you get to see not only Chicago, but you get to see behind the scenes of Chicago, which is awesome.
So one of the most popular things that I book for people in Chicago is an architecture tour. And I love architecture, you know, but what is special about Chicago architecture? Not every city offers as many architecture tours. Like, there are hundreds. So what are the things that we're seeing in these tours?
Well, Chicago's home of the skyscraper. The skyscraper was born in Chicago. Most people don't know that. And for many, many, many years, since the 70s, until eventually Petronas Towers were built in Malaysia, Sears Tower in Chicago was the tallest building in the world. And for a long time, until the New World Trade Center in Chicago was the tallest building in the U.S., you know, 1,454 feet up in the sky, looking out at, you know, four states, which is on a clear day, which is amazing. But Chicago's home to the skyscraper. They figured out how to build taller and taller and taller, eventually taking that back to New York and doing the same thing in New York. But with Chicago having this amazing architecture background, I mean, you look at some of the old buildings just behind me in my video, if you're able to see my video, with the Wrigley Building and the Chicago Tribune Tower and River Plaza is this tower, you know, off to my left shoulder. But having a river that runs the city, we are, you know, we have tons of architectural river cruises that go down the river and really give you a feel of what it took to get those skyscrapers off the ground, literally up into the sky. And that's why Chicago is such a great city for architecture.
We're also so, you know, diverse.
Very diverse. The
architecture is- yeah, yep. The architecture, I mean, you've got kind of Art Deco looks, you've got very Gothic mm-hmm. looks. I mean, it's really, it's quite amazing.
Yep. I mean, you have architects like Mies van der Rohe and Helmut Jahn and, you know, Frank Lloyd Wright, you know, all from the Chicago area who made a lot of these things happen. And, it, you know, it really shows when you're downtown. When you look at everything from the old Chicago Water Tower over on Michigan Avenue that survived the Great Chicago Fire to what we have today with Aqua, which is, you know, a Radisson Blue hotel. And what we're seeing too, which is really great, a lot of female architects are coming out of Chicago, like Jeannie Gang, who are just taking it to the next level and doing some amazing things. Her architecture firm is building the new terminal at O'Hare Airport, which is, we can't wait to see. And it's supposed to have a Portillo's in it. So I'm extremely Ooh. Thrilled.
Oh, wow. That'll be cool. That's the only bad thing about flying into Chicago. They don't have, you can't get like deep dish Chicago pizza at the Chicago airports.
Yeah. No, not good ones. You can get some, but it's not that great. But you can get a good Italian beef from Billy Goat's at Chicago O'Hare.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's so much to do. Lindsay wrote our show notes for us, and yeah, go ahead.
Before I forget, that the architecture tour, there's a really cool one that is, it goes along the river, but it also incorporates, I don't know if you guys have ever read Eric Larson's
Devil in the White City.
That tour is so incredible. It kind of marries the architecture, and then it talks about the history of the city and that expo and, of course, H.H. Holmes, and it's just really good. It's kind of a...
Yeah, and definitely a great stop in Chicago is on Wacker Drive off of Michigan Avenue is the new home of the Chicago Architecture Center, formerly known as the Chicago Architecture Foundation. That's a great place to start if architecture is something you're interested in. They have an incredible model of the city that is always kept up to date, this beautiful scale model in a room, and that has a video that goes with it that kind of walks you through the city history, you know, from the fire to the rebuilding. They do an incredible job. And it also walks you through some of the famous architects that have started in Chicago and how many of the buildings we know around the world, you know, from Petronas Towers in Malaysia to Taipei 101 to, you know, even the Burj Khalifa you know, in Dubai, how all these have a Chicago heart.
Interesting. So that sounds like something for somebody who doesn't know anything about architecture. That's a great way to start too. It'll sort of introduce you to what you're about to experience. Mm-hmm. Very cool. Excellent. So, so there's a lot of things here listed that Lindsay put in as things that we know to do in Chicago, the Magnificent Mile, the Bean, Navy Pier, Millennium Park. What are your, and I'll start with Lindsay on this one because she hasn't gotten to say too much and I'm sure she has an opinion. God. What is your must do? Like what is your favorite thing in Chicago? And if you want to defer to Robbie, you can.
Because it's going to all be bars and you're
nothing wrong with that. Let's talk about those breweries then, shall we? Tell us about the bars.
There's one brewery downtown, but it's a brewery restaurant, and there's a couple breweries on the outskirts of town that are worth the day trip to go out to. But I love the bars. There's a couple great speakeasy type places in Chicago. I'm a tiki bar nut, and Three Dots and a Dash is in Chicago. Not really kind of the atmosphere of the bars that I normally go to there, but the drinks are really good and the decor is great. And of course it's in Chicago, so what's not to love? And it's in the basement, so you're going down in a, like you're going down into a cave. And one of my favorite bars from Wisconsin just put in a, well, not just, about 10 years ago, I think now, put a new bar in Chicago, the Safe House, the second version. And it's, so this is a spy theme bar, but this is all modern spies. And it's really cool. There's a lot of interactive things in there to do. And it is a restaurant too. And I don't know, it's all about the food for me. I want to eat and I want to drink. And
well, it certainly seems like Chicago is the place to do both of those things for sure. So Robbie, what about you? What's your must do?
Oh, it's eat. You just got to eat when you're there. I mean, Chicago's a great food city. You know, for me, I mean, if you're going to see as much as you want to see in Chicago, you need the energy, which means you have to eat. And but some of Chicago's, you know, Chicago's great because you have your dives, you know, where you can go grab your hot dog and fries and go on with your day, or you can sit down and have a culinary experience of, you know, stuff made of nitrous oxide and God knows what else. You know, you can have this total experience of a scientific food. But, you know, Chicago, you mentioned the breweries earlier. You know, since I was a kid, we've probably seen the breweries expand 100 times. You know, when I was a kid, Goose Island was probably where, you know, most things were microbrewed. You know, they're famous beers like 312, which is Chicago's area code. And but now you have places like Metropolitan Brewing up on the north side, and you can pretty much any kind of beer that you want anywhere in the city. But if you're not a drinker, one of the things about Chicago is a lot of great chefs have come out of Chicago or have, you know, massive presences in Chicago. Stephanie Izzard, you know, for example, The Girl and the Goat, you know, is an incredible restaurant, but you want to make sure you plan ahead. But, you know, Chicago, because there's so much to do and there's really not one thing to do, like what I like to do other than eat, is I try to plan ahead. I try to go in when I know there's going to be a festival I want to see, or I watch what's happening at the museums. You know, Chicago has this incredible museum square where you have the Shedd Aquarium, you have the Field Museum of Natural History, and then you also have the Adler Planetarium. I call it the Nerd Vortex. Yes. So we have this, you know, thing where it's this amazing triangle where you can just go and just completely nerd out with science. You know, Shedd Aquarium has the beautiful belugas and the otters. You know, Adler Planetarium, they're located on the very end, so it's nice and dark out there, and they do incredible star shows in their auditorium. And you know, the Field Museum is where Sue was discovered. You know, one of the most intact dinosaur skeletons in a long time, and you can go there and see Sue the dinosaur. It's something for everybody, whether you're adults or children. You know, and then, you know, for the adult side, when I want to adult a little bit and not be with my nieces and nephews, I will head to an area of Chicago that we call the Viagra Triangle or the Douchebag Vortex. which is located on the north side of State Street, where you'll find places like Gibson's Steakhouse. which is an incredible, that's the great thing about downtown Chicago. There's two steakhouses that you have to go to. One is your old school checkered tablecloth, and that's Gene and Giorgetti's, which is right downtown. But if you want to have that fun night out, you know, girls night out, bachelorette party night, where you just want to throw all caution to the wind, that's when you head out to the Viager Triangle and you go to Gibson's for a great steak.
Awesome. So is it like an old school supper club, or is it truly a steakhouse? Like
truly a steakhouse.
All right.
Yep.
Excellent. All right. Well, is there anything else that we've missed talking about that you feel, you know, we didn't really talk about the big. We
didn't talk about the Italian Village.
Oh, Italian Village? Yeah.
What would you like to talk about?
The Italian Village. That is actually my favorite restaurant when I go to Chicago. Mm-hmm. So it's a really neat, it's an old restaurant that's been there, I mean, forever and ever and ever. And don't quote me on this, but they say that the mob runs it. It's got that feel to it, you know. It's definitely old school Italian, and it's on three stories and everything, and the pasta is all made fresh right there. It's just the most amazing Italian meal.
It's one of the few restaurants in Chicago that actually has a sign on the expressway telling you to exit to go to it, like an actual tourist sign, not one of the signs that say food next exit. They actually have their own. If you're on Interstate 55 heading south out of Chicago, it tells you to get off at Damon to go to that restaurant. Because of it has such a following. But, you know, like Italian Village, you know, same with Greek Town in Chicago.
The best Greek food
on the west side of Chicago. Yeah, Chicago really is a foodie town. But, you know, we have people like Rick Bayless who keep taking things up a level, Grant Atchison, you know, with Alenia, you know, using just amazing opportunities in Chicago. Yeah, definitely a city not to miss. But again, like I said earlier, plan ahead. You know, one of the great things about Chicago is there is so much to do, but some of it could be very spread out. If you're doing something in Hyde Park on the south side, you know, somewhere where the Museum of Science and Industry is, and then you want to do something on the north side at Foster Beach, you might want to give yourself an hour and a half to get between the two with traffic, but definitely drive down Lakeshore Drive. Do that, because you got to do that.
There are two things that I've thought about that you guys haven't mentioned. One I can't remember the name of, so I'm going to depend on you Chicagoites, but it's, what's the famous popcorn from Chicago?
Garrett's.
It's like the best. My friend who lives there brought me a big bag, and it was like caramel and
cheese.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So there's a funny story about Garrett's, because you brought it up. Garrett's used to call that the Chicago mix, and that's what it was known as all over the world. If you go to a Garrett's, now Garrett's has now expanded all over the world. They're in Dubai, they're in Kuwait. You can find Garrett's even here in Texas now at the airport. One of the things about Garrett's is if you are international, the caramel cheese is still called Chicago mix, which has always been the name of it. And that's what it was called growing up. There was a lawsuit by a woman in Minnesota who sued Garrett's and won for the name Chicago mix. So now in Chicago, it's called Garrett's mix. It is still the true Chicago mix.
What was her Chicago mix? What was it?
The same thing.
Oh, I see. Wow.
Yep. Who made it to the trademark office first?
Yes, exactly.
But definitely the Chicago mix is your caramel popcorn with your cheese popcorn, and it is amazing.
And the other thing that we haven't talked a lot about, but I think it was my favorite part of Chicago, was the waterfront. Mm-hmm. There's a beautiful, I don't think people think about that a lot. You think of the big buildings and the busy and the architecture, but it's got a beautiful, you know, there were sailboats out, and it was a beautiful waterfront.
Well, people don't realize that Lake Michigan or any of the Great Lakes until you've been to one are as big as they are. When you try to explain to somebody that you can be standing in downtown Chicago and you look across and you cannot see Indiana because of how wide Lake Michigan is, it really surprises people on the map, just the size of Lake Michigan. But Chicago, you know, great biking trails. It's a great convention town for anyone booking conventions or attending conventions. But the beaches are a lot of fun, but it is Lake Michigan. It is Chicago. The water's going to be cold. There's just no way around it.
Even in July, it's always cold.
Even in July, it's always going to be cold. But on a hot day, you don't care. And, you know, if you're hanging out with Lindsay, too, you've probably just got back from a bar. So you're probably fine. You're not going to feel it anyway. But, you know, Chicago has some fun beaches like North Avenue Beach and that really are just party beaches, Foster Beach, just all along the lakefront.
Belmont, so do people swim? I mean, is that like, do they go to the beach and swim? Or do they?
Oh, yeah. They do.
That sounds very cold.
It's weird because you acclimate to the climate you're in. So, and I can tell somebody who's moved away, has been away 10 years now from that part of the world, that I can't handle the cold anymore the way that I used to be able to. I used to walk outside in like a thin little dress and some heat, you know.
Well, and that was, you know, my visit in 1985 in January/February was, at, you know, little North Carolina girl. North Carolina doesn't sell heavy coats. What we call a heavy coat, you guys call a sweater. And, you know, it's really not. So I was completely unprepared for the weather. I think if I had been adequately prepared, I probably, you know, because I blame my mother. She should.
you know, in Chicago, obviously known as the Windy City, it does get windy when it's cold. Obviously, I don't know if anyone knows the story of why it's called the Windy City. It's our, you know, the big mouth politicians had nothing to do with the wind.
Oh, or
the
really? Weather.
Yep,
I Chicago did not know that.
Yeah, there was an article in one of the papers where it was basically called the Windy City based on the big mouth politicians. It had nothing to do with the weather.
But when
you are downtown and the wind is coming off the lake, you will feel it, especially when it's 12 degrees.
Those buildings.
Yes. Exactly. Yes. Yeah. It is.
Cuts right down the. Yeah. Exactly. So you will feel. So it is a windy city, but that's not why it's called that.
How interesting. So why is it called the White City?
That had to do with the what's it called? The World's Fair.
Okay.
When they had the World's Fair, all the buildings were white.
Oh, interesting. Mm-hmm. Cool. All right. Well,
that's something new every day.
I know. I had no idea that. Actually, that's fascinating. Right there at the end, we get a little nugget. That's so interesting. So that is our show for this week. Thank you for hanging out with us. Please like our Facebook page, rate us, and be sure to tell your friends about us. You can find our previous episodes on the podcast page of OutlanderTravel.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. You can find our most recent episodes on YouTube as well. We would love to hear from you in either place. Please leave us comments. Robbie, we are so glad you joined us tonight. Thank you so much. It's always a pleasure to have you
on the podcast.
Robbie. Thanks for having me.
We had a big turnout tonight because Robbie was coming. On behalf of Donna, Laura, George, Lindsay, Robin, and myself, Elizabeth, thank you for joining us this week. Gotta fly.